John chapter 19 is where we are going to be. Easter is quickly approaching, man. It's going to be here before we know it. And so we've begun doing these seven words from the cross. And what we're talking about here is that there are seven different phrases or sentences or interactions that Jesus has with someone if you look in all the Gospels. And so what we're doing is we're looking at those and we're kind of boiling them down to one word. And the first week we looked at the forgiveness, the fact that Jesus says that they forgive them for they know not what they do. And so we talked about forgiveness and the need for forgiveness and the need for Jesus in our life and the need that he fulfills in forgiving us. And last week we looked at assurance and the fact that we can have assurance of our salvation. So many people go through life struggling with, am I saved? Am I not saved? All other religious groups have no real assurance of salvation. And so we know, we learned last week that we can know through Scripture that we have assurance in salvation. Today's word is going to be comfort. Today's word is going to be comfort. And it's one of those sayings on the cross that for me has always been kind of weird. It's how do you really deal with this? It felt more like Jesus was doing some housekeeping stuff rather than really trying to communicate a real truth. But in that, in doing so, Jesus communicates the fact that he is bringing comfort to his mother and then also to John. At Jesus' death during the crucifixion, he is surrounded by lots of people, different groups. There are people who hate him. There are people who are cursing him and laughing at him and mocking him. And then there's this other small group of people, this small group who have followed him and who love him and who care about him and who are heartbroken. And every time the crowd cheers and makes fun of him, you could just feel them just wrenching inside. And there are two particular that Jesus is going to single out. And those two are Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple. And so in the book of John, chapter 19, Jesus is going to have this little interaction with them. And so what I want to do is I want to read it to you in verse 25. It says this, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So we got the three Marys. They're hanging out. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, woman, here's your son. And then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Again, you don't feel like there's a whole lot of spirituality, a whole lot of real meat to grab from this. But if you understand what's going on in this setting, Jesus is providing comfort, not only for his mother, but for his disciple. So today, in the closing moments of Jesus' life, he's going to provide comfort. He's going to provide provision for those he loves. And the first thing I want us to pull out of this is that to Mary, he is going to give guidance. To Mary is given guidance. If you look at Mary, it's hard to not just feel sorry for Mary. Not just feel sorry for, but just feel her pain. This woman, as a teenager, a young teenager, is approached by an angel and is told, hey, we got something for you to do. And Mary says, I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to obey God. And the angel says, well, you're going to have the Son of God. And in doing so, there's going to be a lot of heartache that's going to be involved in that. There's going to be a lot of laughing, a lot of ridicule. And Mary raises Jesus. Mary and Joseph raise Jesus along with Jesus' brothers and sisters. And Mary just, it talks about Mary hiding things in her heart. Now, I'm not a woman, But women, they have this whole emotional thing going on with their children and with other people. And they don't always express that. But in their heart, things are going on. And you can see Mary, when she gives birth to Jesus, at the manger, just treasuring Jesus and hiding the truth that one day, you know, the angel said he was going to save his people. And you can see Mary as he grows up and she sees Jesus in the temple and he's in reality, he's schooling the teachers of the day. And she just treasures that in her heart. You can see Jesus growing up as a young man and into an adult, and she is admiring him as a young man and treasuring all of those things in her heart. And you can see her one day when he decides to begin his ministry, rejoicing that finally what the angel told her that he was going to save his people is coming true. And for 3 years, she follows Jesus along with some other folks. And she sees Jesus do miracles. She sees Jesus teach. And somehow, all of a sudden, she's here on this Friday. And the Savior of the world, the one that she has loved from the time that he was born, or even before that, the one who is going to be the Savior of the world is hanging on a cross, being tortured to death. And you can just imagine the pain and the agony and the distraughtness that's going through Mary. I can imagine her thinking, but I thought he was going to save his people. That's what God promised me. How is he saving his people here? How is my oldest son dying a good thing? How is my oldest son being tortured to death on a cross in a very public, cruel manner, saving the world? And you can just imagine her heart is about to burst. The one who is supposed to take care of her for the rest of her life is now being killed. What's going to happen to Mary? And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Woman, here's your son." Now, a lot of us read that and say, "Why did he say woman? Ain't that really rude? Well, you never call your mama woman in public." No, we wouldn't do that in American culture today. But at that time, it was not disrespectful. It was respectful. As a matter of fact, he is addressing her as a lady in public and giving her the respect due to her. And he recognizes her as a lady and he recognizes her as a woman. And what he's doing in reality, which may be difficult for us to understand, is that he is somehow severing the tie of him being her son and he's giving her another son. See, from this day forth, Jesus is not just Mary's son. Jesus is going to be Mary's Savior. And so he gives her another son. Now, some of you have gone through this. Some of you have gone through the heartache. Some of you have gone through the tragedy of losing the person you love. And probably the worst thing about losing the one you love is that the fact that you are often and you feel alone. You can be surrounded by people, but that one person that you promised to love the rest of your life, that one person you promised to take care of and to be with the rest of your life is no longer there. That person you laughed with, that person you cried with, is gone and you feel alone. At this point, even though there's no biblical evidence, we think that Joseph has died. Her husband is gone. Otherwise, he would probably be in the picture and be talked about as well. But Joseph is not talked about. And so it's just assumed with really good background that Joseph is no longer there. And so Jesus is the one who's supposed to take care of Mary. And what he's doing is he is taking care of her. And he wants to bring her comfort in a time when those she loves is going away. He's going to give Mary comfort. He's thinking about his mother, not just in a temporal sense, but he's thinking about her well-being for a long time. And Jesus is going to honor his mother publicly. And he is going to take care of her and ensure her for the rest of her life. So Mary's given guidance in that she is given another son. She is given comfort in that she is given someone to be with. And you can just kind of imagine, if you would, use your sanctified imagination, that after Jesus' death, Mary goes home with John. And they console one another. They probably cry together. Mary has a son to take care of. John has someone to care for. And it shows us that Mary is given this comfort, but also, secondly, John is given a duty. Mary's given guidance, and John is giving duty. Jesus looks at John and he says, "Look, behold your mother." John is given a high privilege, but he's also given a great duty to care for Mary. He is talking about, and he's thinking about life beyond the cross. And John is only thinking temporarily. I mean, you can imagine the disciple of Jesus who walked with him for 3 years, who saw the miracles, who heard the same teaching, who had the same expectation that one day Jesus was going to take over and things were going to be grand. I mean, John's own mother asked that John and his brother could like have the best seats in the house, that they could be the ones who rule with John, have the best positions, that they could rule with Jesus, rather. And so John has this great expectation of military triumph and rule, and all of a sudden the leader is being executed. Again, how in the world is he saving his people? And you can imagine John's at a loss. I mean, what's he going to do? He's set up his life for the next 3 years to be a person who will follow after Jesus. He was planning on ruling. He was planning on being in charge. And all of a sudden, the leader's gone, or he's going. And what's his job going to be? And Jesus gives him the duty of watching over his mother. And in reality, we think, traditionally, church-wise, John is probably one of the youngest disciples. And I'm not saying he needed a mama, but it probably did him a lot of good to have that influence in his life. In church tradition, also, John will eventually become the pastor in Ephesus. But it seems that it's a little bit later on, and that maybe, just maybe, we don't have the text in the scripture, but if you think about it and you maybe put two and two together, that you realize that John took care of Mary, and Mary took care of John until she died, and then John became pastor in Ephesus. John takes his duty seriously. And Jesus models duty for John. He shows John what he should do and how he should take care of his mother. And Jesus not only shows comfort to Mary and duty for John, but he demonstrates to you and I something else as well. And that something else is that he shows us how to show honor. He tells us, he shows us how honor is given. Jesus is a Jew. Everybody knows that. Jesus is raised up in a Jewish tradition. Jesus is raised up learning the Deuteronomy passages that talks about learning and doing all these things. And he learns about the Ten Commandments, and he has memorized them. And he knows number four that says, honor your father and your mother. And here Jesus is modeling for John, he's modeling for everyone there, and he's modeling for you and I that we are to show honor to our parents. Now, as a child, that usually means that we honor them by showing them respect and obedience. But as we get older, honor kind of changes. At some point, you have to take responsibility for yourself. You can no longer blame your parents for something. But what does that look like as you honor your parents as you get older? See, as believers, as Christians, it is our responsibility, our duty to take care of those who take care of us. That it is our responsibility and our duty to care for one another. And we are tasked with honoring and taking care of our parents. And for different people in different situations, that's going to look different. And at different stages of life, it may look still different. But at the very basis, even if we're adult children, we need to respect our parents. And we need to value their wisdom. It doesn't mean you have to do exactly what they say. But you need to value their wisdom. You need to know what they are, understand what they're trying to teach you. That all through life, your parents have tried to raise you and teach you. And because they've been through all this, wisdom is experiential knowledge that they're trying to import on you. And so your parents are people who deserve being respected and they deserve being someone who you listen to them. And as your parents get older and they're in different stages of life, you need to take care of them the best you can. Now, that may look different for different folks. If the best you can may be that you provide the best care for them inside your home or in their home. Also, the best thing you could do for them sometimes is to provide them care outside of either of your homes. I don't know. I'm not prescribing what that looks like in your situation. What I'm saying is honor them by giving them the best you can. And in the end, the way we honor them should also bring them comfort. Jesus models for us honoring parents. He does it on the cross. One of the most important places in Jesus' life is the cross. He's dying. He has time to deal with things. And Scripture records for us this moment. This is one of the seven things that Scripture records. So we shouldn't take it lightly. We should understand that Jesus takes honoring his parents, and we should take our honoring our parents very seriously. Now, if we go back to thinking this whole thing, Mary, you can imagine her thinking, how are you saving the world on a cross? John's probably thinking, how in the world are you saving us on a cross? We were supposed to rule together. We were supposed to take over. What are you doing up there? And you can imagine them inside praying and hoping that as those who mocked Jesus, who said, if you are really Christ, come down. You can imagine that they felt the same way. Come down. But Jesus stayed. And what Jesus was doing that they understood later, they couldn't understand in the moment. They understood later that Jesus' death is how he saved this people and how he saved the world. That only by dying could sins be paid for. That only by dying and his sacrifice could you and I be atoned for. That only by dying can you and I be saved. And that only through his resurrection that you and I can have hope that one day we will have a resurrection as well. So as we kind of sum this up, Jesus comforts his mother by giving her a son. Jesus comforted his disciple by giving her a mother. And we need to comfort one another as needed. And we can find comfort in Christ alone. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're struggling with something, if today you needed comfort. Comfort in knowing that Jesus knows what you're going through. Comfort in knowing that you have brothers and sisters around you who can love you and care for you and pray for you. But as they play, I invite you to stand and respond to God. You can respond to God in prayer where you are. You can respond to God by following him. You can respond to God by praying here at the altar if you want. If you want someone to pray with you, I would love to pray with you, or somebody else would as well. So as they play, will you stand and respond with God?